hear me okay? All right. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today regarding a project that I spent quite a bit of my PhD research time working on. And it's more specifically a genetic prediction for cow maintenance energy requirements. One of the challenges that we have, or beef cow producers have with production of beef, is the production of profitable cattle. And one way we can accomplish this is through higher revenue and increased cost of production. We're faced with the challenge of remaining financially sustainable over time. And in addition, we also have to be competitive, not only domestically and within the United States, but also globally. Because cattle have to function in so many different environments, unlike some of our other competitors with respect to protein resources, we have to match our cattle to multiple environments, and therefore we have to have multiple biological types that can meet the demands and challenges associated with those different environments. In addition to all the challenges that we have just with matching our cattle and matching biological types to different environments, we're also faced with competition from other protein resources and the competition that consumers are going to elect to choose those resources over beef. This next slide illustrates the feed energy requirements per unit of edible protein deposition in various livestock species published by Dickerson in 78. And it breaks it down by various meat animal species. And what this slide, I think, illustrates really well is that beef cattle, in a way, already start out at a disadvantage with respect to the energy required in terms of amount of feed per kilogram of edible meat protein. However, cattle, being ruminants, have the advantage of being able to convert forage, grass, low-quality forage, into a high-quality protein product, which some of our other protein competitors are unable to do very effectively. So cattle do have an advantage. They're able to utilize these resources to produce this high-quality product. We also know that an average of 70% of feed inputs are used for maintenance energy requirements in the mature beef cow. And when we look at a review of some of the SPA data, cost of feed inputs will represent 40 to 60% of the animal's average annual cow cost. But what is maintenance energy? Just to make sure that everybody's on the same page when we're talking about exactly what maintenance energy requirements are. It is the energy required to sustain body tissues with no net change, or basically, the simplest way that I can think of it is it's the feed required simply for an animal to maintain their body weight. As we've heard in previous presentations, we know that there are breed differences for maintenance energy requirements, and that several breeds, it's been well documented yesterday by Dr. Tom Jenkins, that we have had breed differences, and some of those breed differences are attributed to differences for maintenance energy requirements, and those breeds that are more predisposed to higher milking ability, on average, will have higher maintenance requirements, and that's been well documented in several previous presentations at this conference. This slide shows you the estimates of metabolizable energy requirements for maintenance. It's an abbreviated table so I could get it to fit on the slide, but it represents several purebred groups and breed crosses. And I think the take-home message here is that when we evaluate those breeds or breed crosses that have a predisposition to, I guess you say, higher milking ability or higher maternal characteristics, on average, they're going to have increased metabolizable energy at maintenance requirements. And these requirements, or these increases in maintenance energy requirements, not only occur while the animals are lactating, but they carry over when the animals are also dry. Okay. I was afraid of this. Give me a second and I'm going to fix something. Can everybody hear me better? How about this? Is it better? Okay. All right. We're looking at breed differences. We know there are breed differences among animals for maintenance energy requirements. But we also know that maintenance energy requirements are also a heritable trait. And several previous studies done by both Karstens and Hadevi have clearly illustrated that estimates range from about 0.49 to 0.71. Most of these studies were done with twin groups looking at calorimetry studies. But what I'm going to talk to you about today is a maintenance energy, the work that we did with maintenance energy relative to developing a genetic prediction for maintenance energy, and the importance relative to the development of a maintenance energy EPD with respect to the ERT complex. The maintenance energy EPD fits really well into the complex of economically relevant traits and the theme of economically relevant traits. And as we've heard from several speakers, there's definitely a need for a complete description and a complete set of genetic predictions that will do a better job of predicting or determining when we make selection decisions, those animals that are the most profitable. And the need for this EPD is also emphasized because it will... current selection practices with other immature growth traits as well as maternal traits may negatively impact maintenance energy requirements. This next slide represents the summer 2001 Red Angus Association genetic trends for all their growth traits and maternal traits. And what you observe here is an increasing trend if we look from the 1970s. Up to present day, we see an increasing trend for traits like weaning weight and yearling weight, and showing that the Red Angus Association as a breed has been making selection progress for those traits. However, this next slide represents, out of the analysis that we worked on at Colorado State University, the genetic trend for mature size, and represents the average expected progeny difference by birth year. And you can see that if we go back to the late 1960s, early 1970s, we see a steady increase all the way up to present day for the genetic trend of mature weight, illustrating that we are seeing some response due to selection on some of those immature growth traits because they are genetically associated with each other, genetically correlated with one another. But why not just develop a mature weight EPD? And this was a question that came up in discussions with the Red Angus Association and our group at Colorado State University. And when you think about it, the mature weight EPD is an indicator of maintenance energy requirements or the energy needed for the cow to sustain herself. However, it only represents part of the picture. And we also have an opportunity not only to use mature weight, but we have an opportunity to include other traits to predict the trait that we're more interested in, and that is mature cow maintenance energy requirements. In addition to that, it's easier to quantify and associate a cost with maintenance energy requirements compared to mature size. So our objective with the development of this EPD was to predict differences in feed energy requirements for mature cows and develop an EPD associated with this. Traditionally, the research data sources that are available to do this type of work include calorimetry, slaughter balance, and feed intake studies. However, many of these research approaches are also very cost prohibitive, very expensive. And for us to ask the average producer to collect this type of information is unrealistic, and the cost associated with it makes it prohibitive to collecting large amounts of data, which will be necessary to have reasonable levels of accuracy associated with EPD. What are some of the field data sources that we do have available to us? Well, they include things like mature weight, milk or maternal weaning weight, body condition score, and then the last one, visceral organ mass. The reason I miss there's been some recent work done looking at liver size. Ryan Ruper, who works with the Red Angus Association, did his master's work looking at the association of, or looking at the opportunity to use ultrasound technology to measure liver size as a potential indicator of maintenance energy requirements because of the demand that the liver has with respect to maintenance energy. When you review the literature and look at the energy requirements for the liver relative to its size, it's much higher relative to a lot of other tissues compared to, say, muscle or some other tissues in the body. The other advantage to using some of these traits is they're a lot more cost-effective to collect. Besides that, many producers are already collecting weaning weight information and mature weight information. So for us, this was a good place to start. So we've established that ultimately the economically relevant trait is mature cow maintenance energy requirements. And the indicators that we had available to us were mature weight and milk. But as I mentioned earlier, why develop a mature cow maintenance energy PD? Well, one, rather than just using mature size, we can target the economically relevant trait and incorporate multiple traits, including mature weight and milk. The other trait that's currently being looked at to explain differences in composition of tissue is body condition, so to distinguish fat tissue from non-fat tissue, and an animal's ability to store energy in the form of fat. And probably one of the biggest reasons is it's much easier to determine the value or contribution to cost of production when we're calculating a prediction of profit. Why use mature weight and milk? Well, first of all, calorimetry is simply too expensive and impractical to collect. I had the opportunity to work on some of this with Don Johnson at Colorado State University, who is considered an expert in the area of energetics. And I asked him, you know, what is it even feasible to do something with calorimetry? And he just shook his head and said, no, not on a field, not for collecting field data. One, because there are only a handful of research stations in the world that have calorimetry equipment. Second of all, it costs thousands of dollars per animal to collect the observations. We have mature weight and weaning weight very readily available, and as I mentioned earlier, producers collect this on a regular basis. Milk EPD is a good representation or good predictor of milk production, and this has been well documented in the literature through several validation studies. And differences in milk relate to differences in visceral organ mass. And this visceral organ mass, including GI tract tissue, liver, kidneys, all of those tissues are all high-end users of maintenance energy requirements. When you look at them and evaluate the energy required to maintain the tissues, they're much higher than a lot of other tissues, but it makes sense. They're very metabolically active organs. So what we elected to do is apply what we knew, not only from animal breeding, but all the research that's been done in the nutrition community, in the nutrition research community, to develop a maintenance energy genetic prediction and incorporate mature size and milk. Mature size and milk were readily available. We had complete information to use both those traits. And what I put up here down below is kind of the I guess simplest version of the equation or that we used to for the prediction of mature cow maintenance energy requirements. It's an oversimplification, but what it does is it gives you kind of a brief glimpse at what or how we incorporated mature weight in terms of predicting metabolic body weight, and then adding on maintenance energy requirements for increases due to production levels, which was a function of determining the energy from milk yield. How did we express this trait? The trait is currently being expressed as megacalories per year. Why did we elect to use megacalories per year? First of all, it conforms to nutritional guidelines established for beef cattle. It's well accepted by the scientific community in the area of nutrition. It's easy to interpret and transfer to other units. And more importantly, it's easier to assign a cost. And when we're trying to assign a cost relative to if we're selecting one sire over another for producing daughters in the herd, it's easier to assign a cost when we're talking about calories, something that we're familiar with, something that we're used to reading on a day-to-day basis. And we can assign feed value and associated feed cost. So for determining cost of production and subsequent profitability in a cow-calf enterprise, it will be more feasible using this route. I'm going to present to you some of just the results that we have for this current prototype Maintenance Energy EPD. And this next table is broken down for all animals and then by sire. And we have the average standard deviation and range of EPDs expressed in megacalories per year, and again by animal, all animals, and then broken out by sires. And I think the take-home message here is that there appears to be differences among cattle and the Red Angus population for this prediction of maintenance energy requirements, and opportunities do exist to make selection decisions and genetic change. This next slide shows the average mature cow maintenance energy, or shows the genetic trend for maintenance energy requirements in the Red Angus breed. So we have the average mature cow maintenance energy EPD by birth year, with birth year on the horizontal axis and EPD on the vertical axis. And we can see that from the late 1960s, 1970s, up through present day, we see an increasing trend of about 2 megacalories per year for the mature cow maintenance energy requirement in this breed. This probably looks very familiar to the previous slide I showed you for mature weight. And mature weight is contributing a large proportion of the differences for the mature cow maintenance energy requirement EPD. But we've also included the maternal trait for weaning weight to explain additional differences among sires to try and explain a greater proportion of those differences when we're talking about maintenance energy requirements. I might mention that the first mature weight data were collected in the late 1960s, early 1970s, when the Red Angus Association put together an effort to collect mature weight data. Just to give you an example of how the maintenance energy EPD can be interpreted, if you have one sire, say sire A has an EPD of 0 megacalories per year, and sire B has an EPD of 200 megacalories per year, the daughters from sire B are going to require 200 megacals, on average 200 megacals more energy for maintenance requirements than daughters from sire A. If we take an average cow that requires 11 megacals per day or 4,000 megacalories per year, we're going to see a reduction, a 5% reduction in annual maintenance energy requirements, and a subsequent reduction in feed inputs and a lower cost of production. What are the benefits of using a maintenance energy EPD? Well, first of all, we can select animals that are more feed efficient. We can select animals that have decreased maintenance energy requirements. And with some of the challenges that I previously mentioned with trying to fit match cattle to different production environments, and with the challenges that producers have with trying to keep their costs low and maintain profitability, in my opinion, this EPD represents a good contribution to the current set of EPDs and then the proposed set of economically relevant traits that we'd like to put together for the beef cattle industry. It will subsequently lower annual cost of production, do a better job of improving our ability to correctly select animals for their production and forage environment. As I've described earlier, it's much easier when we're trying to determine profitability and cost of production. Provide, and it, especially in years where we're dealing with poor feed conditions and really challenging our cows to maintain themselves on limited forage, limited supplemental feed, it's going to provide an basically added insurance against those conditions, or at least an opportunity to select the animals that match the production environment that we have to operate in. So that gives you just a brief summary of some of the work that we've done in terms of maintenance energy requirements. And what I'm going to talk to you about now is some of the new directions and some of the forward thinking that's going on with respect to developing the CPD. What I've shown you is the beginning. The CPD is going to continue to be developed and enhanced. Some of the other indicator traits that have been considered include, as I mentioned earlier, body condition to try and distinguish differences among animals with respect to fat and non-fat tissues. Visceral organ mass, more specifically liver size. Cell level indicators, QTLs. We've heard some previous presentations talking about identification of QTLs or the potential for identification of QTLs in beef cattle and then also with other species when we're talking about heat production or maintenance energy requirements or several indicators of that trait. And then another one that has come out in the literature, scientific literature recently, and that is a measurement of heart rate. Other things that still need to be accomplished, continued development of the maintenance energy EPD so that cattle breeders can use it effectively in their selection programs. And then an important topic that I wanted to mention, and that is the implementation for this trait. In order to produce the best economically relevant trait, we need to have complete reporting of the indicator trait data that contributes to it. And that's all. Thank you.